When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Mickey broke the record at Camp Benny's on oysters, about however many you can eat.
Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 40 years, and along with winning numerous national and local tournaments, Captain Mickey was recently inducted into the Saltwater Legends Hall of Fame.
The reason I broke the record is I don't think I had enough money in my pocket to pay for all of them. Because if you break the record, everybody with you eats free.
Now here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. This Thursday morning, I'm Captain Mickey Eastman. Producing the Outdoor Show this morning is Jace. Our sponsors today, Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated, the Belleville Meat Market, and Boyd's One Stop. All right, weather. It's 57 on the island this morning. That little front come through, so a little nicer. It's better than fog and wet. But some clouds this morning, they'll give way to generally sunny skies for the afternoon with a high of 61. Winds will be north-northeast 10 to 20. And for tonight, clear skies, low near 55, north winds 5 to 10. And for tomorrow, mainly sunny, high near 65, north winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. So pretty nice, if you ask me. It's definitely doable. All right, looking at Galveston Channel tides, these are the predictions. We have had a low where we do have a low coming up just after noon, 12:47 p.m. It's a negative 0.4. Then a high tonight at 9:57 p.m., a 1.1. 7:09 a.m. is sunrise, and 5:25 p.m. is sunset. Our moon phase, 86%. We're on the backside of a full moon. And sometimes good, sometimes not so good, fishing-wise. All right, looking at current conditions right now, it's kind of a north-northeast wind at the North Jetty at 16 miles per hour. It's due north at Eagle Point at 8 miles per hour. And up the top end of the complex, it's north at 9. And the old rollover side, it's north at 14. That jetty monitor, it's just always about 30 degrees off from all the other readings, according to this scale. So San Luis Pass looks like a north wind at 9, but northeast at the North Jetty. So that's what it tells me. All right, well, anyway, let's get rolling. Let's head over east of town now. Let's check in with our good friend Captain Bill Watkins and see what he's up to on this pre-Christmas week. Bill, good morning. What's up?
How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm here, man.
Just yeah,
waiting
me
on
too.
Christmas, buddy. Waiting on Christmas.
Yeah, and you're gonna take a Christmas break and go hunting.
I'm gonna go a hunting.
That's
see
exactly
if I can find
right.
Some wabbits.
Wascally wabbits.
Yeah, wascally wabbits.
Yeah, that's the only kind.
That's it. With about
well, in the meantime,
180 inches of horns on their heads.
Have you been fishing any here lately?
A little bit, not a whole lot. I went the other day and it was okay, you know. It is what it is. We catch what we got.
There you go.
But no 7 and 8 pounders, unless they were redfish, and they were bigger than that, so.
Yeah.
The reds are monsters, and the trout are just Trout.
Trout. That's pretty much the way it is.
And anything but works, at least, basically. When you get on them, I mean.
At least they're plentiful, you know?
Lilies work.
There's a lot of them.
Corkies work. Soft plastics work.
Well, I didn't junk this man. Caught any on mirror lures yet?
No, I didn't even try one, so that's why I didn't catch one on the mirror lure. Probably could have had if I'd have thrown it. But everything.
I bet you could have.
Everything's kind of from, 2 to 3 feet out to about 7 feet. And plus it was dead calm. I mean,
yeah.
A little bit of ripple goes a long way. You know, around 2 o'clock, the wind came up a little bit, and I think it made the bite go off better. We started catching more when that happened. But
Well, where I'm fishing right now, it's pretty calm in there. And we do, you got to fish deep.
Yeah.
So, and I could have caught some on some hard baits at one point. Birds were working real good.
Mm-hmm.
We caught
quite a few. So you still got a little bit of shrimp over there then? Some eyeballs.
Still a few little bit of shrimps, yeah.
Some of the shrimp I saw, they were real tiny, 120 counts.
That's pretty much small. What I saw.
They might take more, maybe 150 counts.
I think everything's kind of settled into where they're going to be right now.
I think it's going to be pretty much the same old drill. You get the right wind and conditions, you can go the same place till, March or April.
I'm sure that, that's exactly right. I'm sure that I could have
settled on in, buddy.
If I had fished this week during this little warm up, I could have caught fish back on the Louisiana side again.
Right.
It just takes a little bit of time, maybe a couple days after you get that northwest flow. When it blows 20, 25 miles an hour, it's just going to beat them off the banks.
Yeah.
It's going to dirty everything up, and you got to wait that out. And the day that you need to really strike on that side of the world is as soon as it turns around to the east, northeast, or southeast.
Right.
And that'll bring that water back up. The level comes back up enough. But when it blows it dry, you're going to be able to catch redfish and not much else because it pulls them. It actually beats the fish off the banks. And the water level drops, 2 feet or more, and those fish go way out in the lake and just lay there on the bottom. They don't do anything.
They go out there and sulk, just lay up. And they get ready to feed again. They'll try to work that bait and push it in shallow where it's easier to catch it. See, that's the hardest thing to make people understand. These fish, when they're feeding on like bait fish, like say mullet or, bigger targets like that are more active and can outrun them a little bit, they like herding that shallow where they can attack it a lot easier. It's a lot easier for them to catch that bait shallow than it is deep. And now shad and shrimp, it doesn't matter. They'll push them off the bottom, push them up to the surface, and get on with it. But there's more of them.
Yeah.
I've seen balls of shad where they just open their mouth and swim through it and fill up, just dart through it with their mouth open, suck them in, and move on.
I think that Thursday last week, I think I was actually catching redfish that were feeding on glass minnows, tiny glass minnows. Yeah.
Yeah, this time I'm not of year, sure. Man, I mean, they're microscopic glass minnows.
Yeah, it was so tiny that
I saw some the other day when you reel in real fast and your line's cutting through the water, you can see that little tiny sprinkle. I mean, they're little, real little.
Well, these things were, there was waves of them, and those redfish were running up in 2 foot of water.
Ooh, that's awesome.
And swimming through them.
I love them.
Showering them out in the air, you know, and they were in both sides of the bow, right at the mouth of the lake.
Yeah.
And you could just see their back sticking out of the water, and the numerous redfish. You know, it was kind of an odd deal.
Mm-hmm.
But we got to play with those until a work boat come through. And that work boat come through, he sounded those fish because there was no water in the bio. I mean, it was 9 foot deep right where we were fishing, but it was a little bit too narrow, and he was pushing too much water. Then he went out in the lake about a half a mile and turned around and came back. I don't know what he called himself doing, but that pretty well wiped us out. I was frustrated, but we did hook 10 of those monsters, and that was a pretty good show while it lasted.
Yeah, them redfish are thick in the bayous and marsh right now. You know, up my way, too, you know, they're all pretty much too big. But I know some guys that are fishing up in the marsh, and they're catching redfish like crazy. Small trout and big redfish.
Yeah. Yeah, that should be. Now, I could have switched sides that day and gone over to the north levee wall, because that's laid out where a northwest wind won't hurt it too much.
Mm-hmm.
And that day it was pretty calm after that front had gone through. It was, you know, pretty flat, really. And but the water hadn't completely cleared back up yet. Now, right there where we were at, that bio had clear water coming out of it. But everywhere else I went was pretty off color, and the water level was so low. So I just picked up and launched on the Texas side and went up Ship Channel and found some real good water up there and worked them over. We caught 18 trout and got our two-man limit real quick.
Right.
And we had a couple of fish that were crowding 3 pounds. They're in there, but, boy,
they're getting a little bigger. You know, it's, our limit hadn't even been, this three-fish limit hadn't even, for Texas, hadn't even been in effect a full year yet. So, I mean, we're.
Yeah, that's true. And we'll see how that.
Time. It's come.
We'll see how that works out. It could be that, I mean, the age class of the fish are the same everywhere in Sabine Lake.
Right, and, same way over here, pretty much.
And it's like, okay, so if you fish Keith Lake Fish Pass or up at Texaco Island, up there, you know, up the Ship Channel up that way, mouth of the Neches, you know, anywhere down the North Levee Wall, those fish all cycle around the same way. And but they're all 14 and a half.
Right.
And the majority of them are that size. And you catch some better ones. I mean, you can make your day sorting through there and catching some nice fish. But anyhow, that's how it works. You just got to find the better ones. And I mean, by better, I mean, you know, you're going to catch a possible 4-pounder, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
3-pounders are a little more common. And other than that, you know, I guess, you know, what's happening is as they get to 15, 16 inches, they get caught. I don't know what the theory is on that. You know, I'm able to catch what I need, but it just feels funny. Like,
yeah,
I'm
happier
spinning
days
my wheels.
You know.
I feel like I'm spinning my wheels and not getting anywhere with it, but time will bear it out.
Yeah.
We'll get, you know, a couple more years, we'll start seeing better fish growing maybe on the Texas side than Louisiana, but That's such a fish factory on the east side of that lake.
Well, that's where all your marsh is, all your estuarine, you know. That's where everything's born and raised.
Well, and there's, you know, there's some really good water back in the Keith Lake chain.
Yeah.
But that gets fished pretty hard, too. So, I mean, the, you know, being that the limit's only three over there, that's pretty interesting. But
yeah, I mean, the predator fish are eating more than the fishermen are catching, you know, between the
dolphins. Yeah, I'm kind of thinking that, too.
And bull reds and all that, they're eating up more of the resource than we are. That's a fact. I see that all the time, man. Let me knock this break out, Bill. I'll come right back at you, buddy. Hang on a second.
You got it.
All right. Well, folks, if you're looking for the ultimate outdoor adventure, welcome to Rusty Hook Ranch, a premier hunting and fishing destination right in Matagorda, Texas. You know, whether you're after waterfowl, quail, thermal hog, or even alligator, it's Rusty Hook Ranch has it all. And don't forget about their top-tier Matagorda Bay fishing charters. Bring your friends, your clients, let the boys at Rusty Hook Ranch take care of everything for you, from five-star lodging, skeet shooting and sporting clays to a fully stocked bass pond. Your weekend here will be one you won't soon forget, and if you need a place for team building, family reunions, weddings, or other events, Rusty Hook Ranch. Well, they can sleep large groups up to 40 or host events for up to 300 people. So why wait? Experience the best at Rusty Hook Ranch. Book your adventure today at RustyHookRanch.com. That's RustyHookRanch.com, and tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Thursday morning. It's 419. All right, let's head back over to Sabine and talk some more with Bill. All right, Bill, we're back, buddy.
All right, I'm here with you, bud.
Yeah.
So, what were we talking about? One of fishing, of course.
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, it's my Monday morning, man. Don't jack with me. we went through the glass minnow deal. You know, you were catching them on the, you know, seeing those and where you were fishing up there. And then you talked about going in the channel, the ship channel.
Yeah. And, well, when I got over on that side, it was, I think.
Oh, we were talking about the age class of fish. That's what it was.
Yeah, the age class of the fish.
Because I made the comment that our predators are eating more fish than we're catching. That's a fact.
Yeah. yeah, it's either garfish or porpoises or, you know, sharks. Bull reds. Yeah, I'm sure they eat some of them, too.
Oh, I know that for a fact. I see it every time I go up my way. Bull reds they're munching out on them, on them baby trout.
Yeah, and sand trout too.
Yes,
it might be. That might be the reason that sand trout don't get any bigger.
it's hard to tell.
Maybe the redfish are eating them. Yeah. And I know a porpoise eats a sand trout every once in a while.
You know, when I did my 2-week crabbing thing, me and a couple of my buddies, we always do it every year in November. And we were getting low on, I couldn't get any mullet. And I was using the mullet I had left over from last year in the freezer. And I called a buddy of mine, it's a shrimper over there in Baytown, and he hooked me up with some bycatch. He saved it for me, a basket of it, and it was millions of little baby sand trout in there. You know, there was a few croakers and other junk, but he said, I've never seen so many of them, as many as there are, like it is now. He couldn't believe it.
Yeah, and there seems to be a never-ending supply of sand trout, but they never get bigger.
Yeah, I wonder what the deal is with that.
I don't know. That's a mystery. We used to catch some 2 and 3 pounders in Spain.
Sure.
Back when
we
first started, 25 years ago.
Guff trout in, too.
Oh, yeah. Down in the lower channel, you'd always see some of those. But that's, to me, that's the biggest mystery of all. But, you know, I just don't get it. Every year I think that I'm going to see bigger sand trout holding under the schools of specks. They'll be right down on the bottom most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, a 12-inch one is kind of rare.
Well, you've been flooded over there just as much as we have over here, you know, about the last 8 to 10 years. I mean, seriously, think about the fresh water that has run through our bay systems in just last 7-8 years. It's unbelievable. And, you know, those smaller fish, they adapt to that. Well, they're born and raised in it, you know, in brackish backwaters. And they tolerate it a lot easier. And these bigger fish, you know, the real mature ones, they don't. And once they leave and then flushed out in the Gulf, where do they go? I mean, I think they go south. You know, they ride the current. You know how that current runs towards South Texas, you know, off our shorelines in the Gulf. So who knows where they end up.
Yeah, I don't think there's done as many studies being done on that at all.
No, that's probably a pretty difficult one to do when you deal with the Gulf. I mean, look at the trouble they have with snapper counts.
Yeah, there's plenty of snapper out there.
Let's close it down, and they're eating a prop off the boat. Let's go ahead and shut it down. We don't have enough of them.
Yeah, when you pull the first one up out there, there's, you know, 50 or 60 the same size right with them.
Yes.
It's just, and everybody's thinking, what in the world? Why do we even have a 2-fish limit?
Give them 4, even 4.
Well, yeah. Yeah, Texas gives them four. So,
but Mother Nature protects that species of fish offshore. It's just, most time, it's just too difficult for most anglers to get out there and do their thing.
Yeah, most small boats can't get out there that much.
If you give Mother Nature a chance, she'll save a fishery for you.
Yeah, she will. That's a given. But I'm thinking that, you know, when we have a good stock of fish that is back in a back bay somewhere,
mm-hmm.
They're easy to pick on back there. You know, a lot of people find out about it, and they catch them as they get 15 half inches. That's,
sure.
That's when they get caught. So I think that, you know, you've got so many 14-inch trout right now, 14 and a half, 14 three quarters, 14 and 15 sixteenths. They're just right at the line, and you can't. It seems like the population just never increases from there.
Yeah, those are probably a little over year-old fish, year and a half. And, you know, if they're females,
yeah.
You know, if they're males, they're 2 and 3 years old. But it just... that's
well,
the way
just,
it is.
I'm mystified by the fact that even at three fish, we still seem to be catching them out as fast as they get there. So, you know, that letter I got from Louisiana Fishers and Wildlife a couple of years ago, that seems to be borne out. If you only have a healthy population of 1 and 2 year old fish,
mm-hmm.
Your fishery is going to crash. That was the statement that they made.
Well, yeah.
You need to have, you know, all age groups present, you know, from 7 and 8 pounds on down.
See, the way the limits are now in Texas as far as the slot of trout that we have, I mean, we're catching up all our 2 and 2.5 year old fish.
Yeah.
You know, once they get up to, you know, 20 inches and above, they're 3.5 years old and up. And I see what they're getting at. They're trying to build up the upper age classes, get a better stock of those, you know, your broods, the ones that spawn the best and produce the most eggs. But it's, you got to get the 1 and 2 and 3 years old, 3 year olds through the system to become 4 and 5 and 6 year olds to produce more fish. I mean, not saying that these little fish don't, because they spawn, but they put out a quarter of the eggs that the bigger fish do. But
yeah, it would seem to me that the most prolific is the 3 pound trout.
Yeah.
They're the healthiest, and they put out the, you know, I know a 7 pound trout will probably put out more eggs, but there's not very many of those.
Yeah, 7 pound trout in one season will put out almost 30 million eggs.
But if you've got a bunch of 3 pound fish,
yeah, they'll put out about 10 million in a season.
Yeah, and but if you will usually have a whole lot more of those than you will 7 and 8 9s.
Right.
So that's probably, you know, at that age, they've survived a long time. And even though it might seem like you have a lot of fish that size in the bay, that's only representing maybe 5%.
Mm-hmm.
So your big biomass is going to be your 3 pound trout.
Yes.
That's the ones that seem to be the healthiest and the strongest and the most numerous. So, you know, I guess Parks and Wildlife's data means so much to them that they can't listen to anybody like me.
Yeah, they can't see the forest for the trees. I hadn't used that one in a long time. But
that's a good one.
It's like our main biomass are 1 year old fish.
Yeah.
You know, 1 to 2 year olds.
That's right. And so if you think a trout grows, you know, what, maybe 11 to 12 inches the first year?
Yeah, about 12 inches, they claim, you know,
yeah.
If it's female.
And then, So Louisiana bumped it up to 13 inches before you can keep them.
So they're still and killing so babies. That fish is barely over a year old at 13 inches.
Yeah.
They don't hit 16 inches till they're at least 2 years old. So.
Well, I guess my main problem with Louisiana is that they still have 15 fish limits. And that's, to me, what I'm seeing in the fishery, and I'm thinking that that's probably a way big number. I think they need to drop it down to about 10 or 8. Mm-hmm. And that would still let them give their people what they want and make a compromise in there somewhere. 15 is way too many. And
it used to not be, but this day and age it is.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, this is too excessive. You know, I had 4 guys in the boat back in September and no, it was actually October, and we caught 49 trout. And I told them, stop. He said, well, the limit's going to be 60 for the 4 of us. I said, yeah. I said, but let's don't be greedy.
Yeah.
There's only a certain number of fish out there. And they agreed. You know, they said, you know, you're right. That's 49
fish. Well, I mean, just do the math on it. Look at it like you had 4 sports. And if they catch your Louisiana limit, that's 60 trout. You could run 5 fishing trips off of those 60 trout in Texas.
That's right.
You know, legally, you know, going by the standards, the limits.
Yeah.
And
they all agreed. I said, let's save some.
And people will. They'll listen to a guide, you know, and especially an old-timer like you that's been around forever. You know. And that's why people book you, because they know you know, and they'll listen to you, and they're good with it.
I have no problem with, even before this past year, I was not keeping my limit in the aggregate.
Right.
And nobody gave me any trouble over that.
No.
They all agreed that, you know, the fisheries need a break. And so I was doing that for 2 years before Louisiana implemented it.
Exactly.
And their data showed that wasn't having an impact for the guy to be keeping his 15 fish.
Right.
Well, that's flawed data. I know it's flawed.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you take an extra 15 fish out of the system every single day that you can do it?
A day. It just say 100 days a year. That's 1,500 fish.
There you go.
Just for one guy. That's
just doesn't make sense.
It adds up. You know, it all adds up. Just it's simple math. All right, Bill, I got to run, buddy. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing with you at Sabine Lake, give them some info how they can get a hold of you.
Well, just call me at 409-673-9211.
All right,
and we'll go get them.
You got it, man. All right, I'll talk to you Saturday, and we'll see if anything changes.
All right, buddy.
All right, Bill. Have a good day. Good talking to you. See you, man.
Sure.
All right. You know, folks, if you need pipe, valves, fittings, instrumentations, fastener, or gaskets, and you need them fast, look no further than Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. They're your one-stop shop for all of your petrochemical supply needs. With a full fleet of delivery trucks and same-day delivery, there's no need to wait weeks for other distributors. Let Allied deliver today. And if you're looking for that hard-to-find item or can't wait on long deliveries, their sales team has over 100 years of combined experience, and they're here to support you from start to finish, whether you're on a 24/7 maintenance project or ground-up construction. Allied has you covered. Remember, the first three letters of Allied are all, and that's exactly what they do. Call Allied Industrial Sales Incorporated. Let them handle it all for you at 281-332-6224 or sales at alliedinc.com. Spell out Inc. That's 281-332-6224. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 4:38 here in the Bayou City. Let's run up to Conroe now and let's check in with the fish dude. Richard, good morning. What's up?
Not a lot, Mickey. Not a lot, Mickey. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good, brother. I'm good, as always.
I hear you. It's chilling out there this morning. I got 37 here at the house right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we're a little warmer than that down this way.
Yeah, buddy.
We're in that 50 to 55 range, even a little warmer.
There you go.
So we're good.
Well, always. You're down there close to that salt water.
Yes, sir.
It always stays a little warmer down there. So that ain't too bad, though. I'm going to wait a little bit and go out there and see if I can't get it.
We're warmer in the winter and cooler in the summer. Then you got the woods there, man.
That's the best part, being around all that water. Mm-hmm. All that water, especially out there, because it takes a long time for it to cool down. You don't hardly ever see that water temperature out there in the 40s. So that's one of the things. And up here on Conroe, it ain't been in the 40s for a couple of years anyway. But I'll tell you what, when it gets down there, it's something else.
We start getting nervous when our water gets in the low 40s, man, because once it hits about 39, 38,
buddy. I guarantee you. You know, that's what's funny. When Conroe gets down there and below 50, that's one thing you start noticing. Tilapia start dying off. You know, a lot of people don't think there's any in Conroe, but they show up. I tell you what, it's crazy when that cold water hits, they'll start dying off, and you see them popping up everywhere. So it's crazy how those things can survive everywhere, but once that water temperature drops below 50 and stays there for a little bit, they can't take it.
Right.
So that's one of them things. It's one of the, like whenever I used to get out over at Gibbons, that was one of the big things over there, because those dang fish, in that hot water lake, they were some big ones. I mean, you'd be in some of them creeks and you'd see schools of those tilapia, about 20 to 30 to a school, come swimming by you, and it's like, good night. You know, 6-pound things swimming around there like that, and and then you'd be going along when they would be spawning, and they'd have beds that looked like 18-wheeler tires down there in the water, and we'd boat fish for them a lot over there and shoot them rascals, and there'd be four or five of them in one bed. So it's, because they're mouth brooders anyway, so it's kind of weird how they'd all gang up in one little spot, but they'd stay right there.
Mouth breeders, just like hardhead catfish.
Yeah, I didn't know hardheads did that. But that's
gaff top, too. They hold them eggs in their mouth and let the babies hatch, and then when they get big enough, they'll let them swim out.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that. That's a new one on me. But I knew them tilapia did that.
Yeah, you catch those gaff top, especially in the right time of year in the summer. Man, they'll spit out them old nasty yellow eggs in your boat, and you step on one, and it's... By the time you get in, you need an air chisel to get it off the floor.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, they get hard, I guarantee you.
Yeah, that'll sunbake them.
Good night. Well, that's like those shad eggs on Conroe during the spawn that happens around Easter every year, when they'll come along and they lay eggs all on the side of your boat and on your motor, and you pull out of the water and you see all them yellow dots everywhere, and
frog
it's like
eggs.
Good, huh? Yep, exactly. They're stuck all over the
shad
place.
Shad caviar.
I guarantee you.
Some nasty tasting stuff.
You ain't kidding, boy. It's got to be. There ain't no doubt about that.
But I like the good caviar.
No, I'm not a fan of that either. I can't. Number one, I can't afford it. But the caviar,
I've been at parties, going, what are people seeing this? It's like taking, eating cod.
A mouthful of salt.
Salty, oily stuff,
Yep, that's what every time I've eaten it, it tastes salty like crazy. So it's like, no, I'm not a big fan. I'll take me some sushi, though. I'm pretty good pretty good at taking all that, the sashimi Lucky and all that bait, good stuff.
Fresh dead.
Man, I love. I'll tell you what, when it comes that some of that salmon and then that tuna, it's you can't beat it. I love it. So it just wasn't one of them things. You know, some people like it, some people don't. But for me, I got it kind of hooked on it a while back. So, and I've been working on it for a long time now. And it's, you know, it's a blast whenever you have some good stuff. Now, when you get some bad stuff, it's like, good night. No, I'm not going to do it. So
yeah, you'll pay the price for that.
I promise you, don't stop in one of them convenience stores.
You're trucked up.
That's it. Yeah, don't do that. That'll be a mistake that you won't forget. I promise you.
Oh,
but it's all good. Right? Ain't no doubt about it. But I'm just glad it finally cooled down a little bit more, because I was noticing the other day water temperature started shooting back up. It got back up to 65, and it's like, good night. I mean, it was down there at 62, and that's where it was kind of hanging there for a little bit. And,
right.
And so at least now I had a little bit of wind with this little front, and that cooling it down, the water temperature ought to be on down. Like I said, I'm going to go out there in a little bit and see if I can't load up on some catfish for the house, but I'm also going to look for some hybrids, because them rascals are kind of hiding from me this year for some reason. I don't know why they don't want to act right.
They'll come around. It's the struggle.
Well,
real. You always do this every year, a little early in the winter, but it hadn't got cold enough yet either. You won't get off hook.
That's right, and that's one of the things. But one of the funny things about them is on these cloudy days, they just don't want to bite. When that sun comes out, man, they fire it up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm expecting.
Did you get any of that fog this week?
Oh my gosh, it was horrible.
Oh, that was nasty, wasn't it?
It was like Saturday, for example. I stayed out there all day Saturday from daylight to dark, and it was funny. It would clear up a little bit, and then that fog would roll in. It was raining all day, you know. Kind
yeah,
of
there just wasn't
misty.
Enough wind to push it out or moving around.
It would not leave. And I mean, at dark, it was still just, it was just eerie. Everywhere, you know. And I mean, we got a little bit of sunlight for about maybe an hour, and we caught three hybrids Saturday afternoon, and that was only when that sun broke out. But man, I'll tell you what, when it did come out, that fog was starting to lift a little bit, and then the clouds came back in. Here it came again. I mean, it was strange. I just never went anywhere. I mean, it's all morning, all day long. But then that old misty rain. Good night. I mean, that was horrible. Just couldn't get it. Wouldn't quit. I mean, that's just one of them things, staying out there. Because in the afternoon, people showed up. I said, hey, if y'all want to go, we can go. If you don't want to, we can reschedule. It's up to y'all. We're here. Okay. So I told them, it's kind of nasty out there. It's been doing it all morning. I ain't quit yet. So got out there in rain gear and we just stuck it out and caught a fistful of catfish. We limited out on the catfish, and then like I say, when that sun broke out, because I told them, I said, we'll start out trying the hybrids, and then if they don't want to act right, we'll go catch some catfish. We got a little time left, we'll jump back on the hybrids, and that's exactly what we did. And that after that sun broke out, they decided they want to eat a little bit, and like I say, we had three of them, so it's I can't complain. I got three of them out of the deal. Because in the morning, I did the same thing. You know, it's got out there on them and worked on them. They just would not bite. And I said, put on it. Let's go catch a bunch of catfish. We had 75 in the morning. So, and then, you know, just gave up on the hybrids altogether and then went, you know, got back cleaning on them things and then met my afternoon people. And here we go again. Same thing, you know, just cloud cover and, It's a strange thing. I don't know why they do that, but they, you know, for years they've been doing that. If you get the sun to come out, they'll bite. If it stays cloudy, for some reason they'll grab the baits and just kind of run with them. They just won't eat it. You know, it's the dangerous thing.
Well, I'm squeezed on time this morning. If somebody wants to call you, Richard, how do they get a hold of you? Come up and fish Conroe with you, man.
All right, Mickey, anyone get in touch with me at 936-661-7920. You can find me on Facebook. Just check out the Fish Dude Guide Service. You can email me at admin@fishdudetx.com or just check out the webpage, fishdudetx.com.
Richard, always a pleasure, man. You have a good day today. I'll talk to you Saturday. Catch them up, man.
Yes, sir. Y'all have fun.
All right, buddy. See you.
All right.
That's the fish dude up on Lake Conroe. Now we're going to run down Matagorda Way and check in with Captain Charlie Paradosky. Charlie P., good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. And you?
Fair to middling.
Be doing good. Boy, you caught some nice fish yesterday.
It's been like that all week, man.
Awesome.
All week.
That really backside of the full moon's not hurting your fishing, is it?
No. No. A good early bite and then peck on them all day and then
right.
A good midday bite around 11, 12 o'clock. Just like it's supposed to be, you know?
Well, that's
the fish are in the same places. Yeah. And the fish are the same places they've been as long as I've been over here.
Since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Habitat is habitat. Structure is structure. And fish, they cling to it.
You know, during the week, there's hardly anybody fishing. You know, not many guides have bookings. And, of course, when it comes Friday and Saturday, they're everywhere.
So. Yeah.
It's been nice, and I haven't even had to deal with any fog over here.
Well, we have.
Not at all this week, no. There was, you know, some scattered patches, but...
Yeah.
No bad fog, so... Been lucky, and it's been beautiful underwater every day.
Well, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I bet your water, you know, with these winds being down, they got real pretty, especially in East Bay.
It's beautiful, but... The damn water temperature is almost 70 degrees again now.
Yeah, that's all right.
You know?
It'll cool down a little bit with this one, and then we'll warm up again for Christmas. And boy, my hunting trip's not looking too good weather-wise. Boy.
No, it looks like pretty warm weather again.
Guess I'll pack my summer gear.
Take that shotgun. Go to work on them dove.
You can bet on that.
Yeah. You tell them boys hello for me when you go.
Oh, I will. I'm sure your name will come up a few times down there. It always does. Sitting around the fire, telling lies.
Yeah. You know, one thing that's puzzling about this fishing over here, Mickey, there's no birds working. And I've never seen it like that. I mean, you know, it.
Are you shrimp gone already?
Like, I don't understand. I'm not even seeing them.
More to come out. I mean, the ones that I'm seeing over here that have come out, they're real tiny, you know.
Personally, I think they're still to come out.
Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah. I mean, it hadn't really gotten cold, and we hadn't had that many flushes yet, you know, as far as low tides.
Yeah, when we had those really low tides, the redfish fell out of the marsh.
Right.
But most of them stayed right along the banks.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like two or three days where I got them out there in the middle. And then they went right back. And they got to be back in there because that's where all the bait and the shrimp's at.
Yeah, a lot of our reds are in our bayous up in the top end of my bay. And, you know, eating on little bitty tiny bait fish, you know, shrimp and stuff like that. And they're right against the bank. I know some guys the other day, they caught them tailing against a bank up there in the bayou.
Oh, yeah. I heard that yesterday from Lee Warpke, told me.
Yeah.
Here. But anyway, in the sand trout, you know, normally they're a pain in the butt.
Right.
I don't know. They're not. Not catching many. So, you know, it's been a different year. Just adding to it. Different year, but
yesterday y'all had what, a couple of fish around 28 inches trout?
Yeah,
that's awesome. I saw that picture of you look good, Charlie. You're still hanging in there, buddy. You're my hero. I'm proud of you. Looking good for an old man.
Every day has every
but that every hey, that trout you were holding was a lot prettier than you were.
Yeah, I know that. Ain't no doubt about that.
Me and Bob already were talking about that. You see that picture of Charlie? He's still looking good, man.
I got tired of watching them catch them, and I released all those fish, you know, quick on the side of the boat.
Right.
And I don't put no damn BOGA grip on them. I put that death grip on them behind the head to get them back in that water as quick as I can.
I'm with you.
Yep. Everything's okay over here.
You get a fish that big and heavy, and you put that little old BOGA grip tip in the bottom lip like that and hold it up. I just don't know whether that's good for that fish or not.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
I don't think so. If you grab that fish right behind the head, you ain't hurting nothing.
No.
You know, you don't want your fingers in his gills or anything.
No, don't shove your thumb and index finger up in his gills behind the plate. Right. But you can hold him behind the head firm enough that you're not going to hurt that fish and let him swim.
Yeah, I had somebody on the Facebook. Too. Somebody on the Facebook was bad-mouthing me, saying I wasn't holding the fish right.
They don't know.
He probably invented poker grip or something.
Hey, them keyboard warriors aren't all they're cut out to be.
I know.
They've never put their hands on as many fish as you have. That's a fact. You know how to handle them.
You too. No doubt.
I watch them swim off and makes me feel good.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad y'all are doing good over there, man. That's good news. I like good news. We've had enough negative news the last few years. I'm liking
no
what
doubt.
I'm seeing.
Keep that cold weather away from us and we'll be just fine.
Yeah, no more Arctic freezes.
Don't say it.
Gosh.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like saying the H word. I hate even mentioning it, but.
I know.
Cool deal, brother. If somebody wants to call you about coming over and fishing, you know, there's plenty of time before Christmas. If the weather stays like this, it's just going to be good all the way through.
Sure. January and February, too.
Sure. Remember Trout Masters, we'd get over in February and there were some toads rolled up in that tournament over there.
First Absolutely.
Of the year, Matagorda.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Charlie, throw him a number out, brother.
713-725-2401.
All right. Keep sticking them. I'll check in with you Saturday. Talk some more.
Take care.
Thanks, Charlie. See you, man. All right, that's Captain Charlie Paradosky in Matagorda. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop for grade A cuts of beef, pork, and chicken. And go by their meat market. Their meat market and processing facility are right next door to one another. Check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store. You can try what blend you like and buy it right there in the store with a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with their pecan smoked pulled pork and homemade hot dogs now available on their menu. And bulk pricing is available on fresh ground beef and all of their pecan smoked sausage. And Christmas is right here around the corner. It's time to order your gift boxes. Options are available in-house or they can customize it for you how you like it. And if you're looking to cook a rib roast for Christmas, the Belleville will cut and trim it for you to perfection. And their wild game processing facility, the best service, the best product you'll ever get. Check out their new sausage recipe. It's available here for deer season. You got to try it. It's really good. Get their deer tamales made also, along with venison hot dogs. Your family will love that you did. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.